Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Katz has a new book. John Katz has a wonderfully poetic book about Simon the Donkey, and I read this book, and I live in the city of Milwaukee, but I sure wanted to get a donkey for the backyard. It's a beautiful story. He writes beautifully and with great compassion about animals, and Simon was a donkey who had been, you hate to read the description of him because he was just terribly, terribly maltreated. And the animal control officer called John Katz because she had read his books. He was on a neighboring farm in upstate New York and said, would you like a donkey? And they didn't know if he would survive the trip to the other farm. He was in such horrible shape. Well, Simon not only lived, but Simon has been thriving for several years now. And John writes about donkeys, and they have an amazing history and the healing process and what they told John Katz about compassion, what Simon told him and other donkeys that he's had, Carol and Fanny and Lulu. Oh, I want a donkey. John Katz is going to be joining us soon on the Ideas Network. He's been with us many times, and it's always a treat to have him with us. We are in a pledge drive right now, in case you didn't know that. I'm Kathleen Dunn, in case you didn't know that. KP Whaley is joining me in our studios in Milwaukee, and our goal is really to keep bringing you topics like last hour's Robert Reich and this hour, John Katz. This is just a terrific day. I love both of these guests. Your support makes that happen, so please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. We heard from 53 listeners last
hour. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for those pledges.
Yes.
Our goal, we do have another goal this hour as well, 33 pledges. And you'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount will automatically enter you into a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You can help us meet our goal and get entered into the drawing as well by making a contribution now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
You hear wonderful guests all day long on the Ideas Network. It really is a unique radio service, and your support makes it possible. Pledge now for the station that you enjoy, and you rely on it, too. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Of course, you give to WPR to support the programs, but as an added incentive, we have something special right now. It's the John Katz new book, Saving Simon, and it's yours when you give a pledge of $150 or more. That's only $12.50 a month. So ask for it now when you make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this hour of the program, we are going to be soon having John Katz with us, author of Saving Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. And that was just a little Simon braying, a little sample,
just a little
of,
sample of what
Simon.
You get to hear.
Oh, wait, I feel like playing it over and over again. It's wonderful. A reminder, because I know many of you are huge fans of John Katz. We've interviewed him for so many of the books. And the book Saving Simon by John is yours when you pledge $150 or more, which is just $12.50 a month. So that would just be great. I read it last night and the day before with my doggie sitting on my lap, and it was a good experience.
I'll bet. And another great reason to pledge this hour. Everyone who pledges will be entered into a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You can choose the Rhine River, Alaska, or France. And you could be the lucky winner when you make your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, telephone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Send a postcard, or even better, make a pledge right now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, a lot of people think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we do get funding from the federal government and from the state, but listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income. So your support is really vital to keeping WPR on the air. And now that you know how important listener support is, go and make a pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may want to think about becoming a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing. Becoming a sustainer is a powerful way of donating because it provides this very reliable funding for WPR. It's very convenient. It's affordable for you. Choose a monthly amount, and it might be $10, $20, and become a sustainer right now.
Yeah.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Ooh, nice.
After
now let's dance.
And then after you've made your donation, then go tell a friend as well. Make sure that everyone knows. Use your social media and call them up or mention it when you see them. Let everyone know that you're supporting WPR and plant the seed in their mind as well. 888-202-2552 is the number to pledge.
And we are looking for how many pledges? 30 more pledges in the next. Oh, we got a lot of time.
We got plenty of time.
I mean, not that you should dilly dally, but we have 45 minutes.
Actually, if you want to listen to the interview with John, you want to go to Pledge Now and get it out of the way.
Thank you very much, yeah. KP. That's really good advice.
And again, as an added bonus, you can be entered into that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. So there's a lot of reasons to go to the phones right now. 888-202-2552.
And as for the book Saving Simon by John Katz, with your pledge of $150 or more, that's $12.50 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Again, what is it, KP?
888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And you'll love the book, too. It's I read his books, and you know, I can rank them. This is way up there. I didn't know much about donkeys. This is way up there. Thanks, KP. Thanks, everybody, for pledging. Keep the pledges coming in. And now, in full measure, are you ready? Here's Simon. Here we go.
Good morning, Simon, and how are you today, sir?
Oh, you gotta love that, don't you? And I know that John put it on his blog for days and days, and people would wake up in the morning and listen to Simon braying. John Katz has a new book, Saving Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. And that was the morning call of Simon the Donkey. This is John's 27th book. We've interviewed him many times for many of those books. The Second Chance Dog, A Love Story, Going Home, Soul of a Dog, Izzy and Lenore, A Good Dog, The Dogs of Bedlam Farm. John is also a wonderful photographer, and he has a beautiful blog with photos of animals on Bedlam Farm, people, poetry. He lives in upstate New York with his wife, artist Maria Wolf. He has written for the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Slate, Rolling Stone. He's worked for CBS News, the Boston Globe, the Washington Post, and the Philadelphia Inquirer. He has many talents and has lived many lifetimes, as he will tell you. John, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, Kathleen. It's so great to talk to you. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, too.
I feel like braying. I should just bray.
Do you know how to do that sound? I wish I did.
No, I can't do it as well as Simon. I can't.
You put that on your blog, and people, I just love that we're kind of going to the end before the beginning, but people really were captivated by his story, and they came by the thousands to see Simon. And you too, but Simon too.
Oh, Simon, no. We're having an open house this weekend, and more thousands are coming.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
He's a rock star. He is definitely a rock star.
He is a rock star. And I must tell you, until I read the book, I found the factual parts about donkeys to be just fascinating in the literature surrounding donkeys. I just didn't know very much about them, John.
Donkeys are extraordinary. You know, they probably have the most extraordinary, you know, literary and spiritual history of any animal in the world, including dogs, I have to say, and I love dogs.
I know.
Donkeys go back, they're in the early paintings, they're tied into Christianity and the Muslim faith, they're all over the Kabbalah, they're, you know, gorgeous paintings of them. You know, the donkey was probably the first animal to really be domesticated and work with people.
Hmm.
And there's still 30 or 40 million of them around
Goodness.
The world, and they do very hard work. They're kind of vanishing a little bit in America, and replaced a lot by tractors, but they live all over the world, and they're incredibly intelligent. They're astonishingly intuitive and very, very powerfully connected to people. And they're not really well known, but the history is amazing. The books about donkeys, and you know, there's a million books about strange men wandering around with donkeys. So, of course, I became,
and of course, you're one of them.
I became one of them. It was a huge part, of, by the way, of Simon's healing. I don't want to jump ahead, but I started when he was really sick. I read him these stories. I read him Plato and I every night. I went out into the pasture, and I would read him these stories.
I know.
Stand up. And he loved them. He just still loves them.
Yeah.
When I go out with a book and read a story to him, his ears go up, and he's incredibly attentive.
There's that one part where you go out to him and you're under almost a full moonlight and he's next to you. And it's just, I just pictured it and it was such a beautiful thought, John. Such a beautiful thought.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it was a very wrenching story for me. I really, you know, there's a lot of talk about abuse. People use the term abuse all the time. Everybody's dog is abused. Everybody's cat is abused. And you forget what it really is. You know, real abuse is horrible. And
yes.
it's mistreatment approaching severe injury and death.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw anything quite like what the condition Simon was in.
Mm-hmm.
It was a shock to me.
And so Mackenzie Barrett, the animal control officer's daughter who named him Simon, thought that if she named him Simon, he would be blessed and never hurt again. And thank God you showed up there. And it was hard to believe that he was going to survive really another moment. But you took him, and he was healed, and it's just such a story. But you didn't think he would make it. The descriptions of the kind of abuse, oh, John, they're just appalling, really.
Well, yes, it was hard. I tried to get rid of it quickly in the book and not dwell on it, but it was
You
it
have
was
to
jarring.
Hear it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I won't be too graphic about it, but he had been really neglected for months in the back of a farm and was lying in frozen mud and ice, and his his hooves had grown out on either side, maybe 6 to 8 inches, because he'd never been trimmed.
Hmm.
And his coat was, he had rain rot and lice, and his teeth were infected, and his eyes were infected. It was just a mess.
Hmm.
And we were really taken aback. We were thinking, oh, this is too much for us. You know, it probably looked worse than it was. I mean, animals like donkeys are very hardy, although the vets there were quite prepared to put him down. For his own sake, they thought he was just suffering so much.
Mm-hmm.
He was really into healing, I have to say. And, you know, Simon is just into life. You know, he loves to eat. He loves snacks. He loves treats. He loves people. And he got into it. You know, I got the sense almost right away that he was loving the attention, and he was just soaking it up because every day, you know, I had to put ointment and balms on him, and, you know, he had so much stuff going on. But you could just see him almost like one of those fast films on YouTube, you know, that move fast. He just came to life. And that Bray you were playing, you know, after maybe a month or so, you know, it was about a month before he could really walk. He was getting so weak. I went out one morning and I heard this like ear-splitting bray, and everywhere the dogs were running all over the place. Everybody was running for cover, and I called it the call to life. That's how he greets me every time he hears me. When I get up in the morning and I put my feet on the floor on a bed, he hears this in the barnyard and he gives me a bray.
Yeah, but did you hear the sound of your voice when you were answering him too? You've got this bright, wonderful sound in your voice.
Yeah.
It's just terrific. So you know how to communicate with each other.
You know, there is something. All of these books, you know, the one thing in common, you know, of all of the books, Don Quixote and Plato, and there's all these great, great books about men and donkeys. And some women too, but mostly men, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wandering around the countryside with donkeys. And this goes back thousands of years. I mean, this goes all the way back to the Romans and the Greeks. They find these wonderful stories about men. They call it the theater, you know, sharing the theater of chance. And they would wander around with donkeys and talk to them, and they would be their companions. The Kabbalah is amazing. It's filled with the donkeys who are smarter than the rabbis and who carry all this great wisdom and who were so valuable they were used as money.
Mm. Interesting.
If you had five donkeys, you were rich.
Huh. And Simon was preceded. You didn't know anything about donkeys, you write, until you were 50 years old, and then all of a sudden you discovered them, and it was a terrific thing. But you had another donkey you cared for, and I love the passages where you're playing Willie Nelson. Carol loved
Carol.
Willie Nelson, and you're playing Willie Nelson in the barn to Carol. Tell me
Carol's
about
was Carol.
Yeah.
Carol was the greatest animal character that I think I have yet met. When I first learned sheep herding with Rose in Pennsylvania, there was this donkey who had been living alone in a farmer's pasture for 16 years. He never fed her once. He never gave her hay. She ate bark and grass and water from the stream. And she was just on her own. She'd grown up completely by herself. It's a grumpy old thing. I started giving her carrots. And she when I would show up, she would bust right through the fence, chase the sheep away, and run me down for an apple or a carrot. And when I bought these sheep and brought them upstate on my farm here, I opened the trailer, and she popped off the trailer with a note from the farmer saying, "You like her so much, you feed her."
Oh.
So I had Carol, and this donkey was amazing. She was grumpy, and I once came home. She had opened the gate to the pasture. She'd come into the farmhouse, opened the back door, and opened the kitchen cabinet.
Oh my gosh.
Eating cereal. And she looked at me, and I said, "Get out of here." And she looked at me like, "How about you make me?" And I had to get a fire extinguisher and spray her to get her out of there.
Oh.
And she would just, the only thing that would calm her down, I had to give her medicine because she had all kinds of ailments. And she would drag me up and down the pasture. I got frostbite, which I still have on four fingers from trying to give a needle to her in the middle of the winter. But I would take a boombox with Willie Nelson CDs when there were still CDs. And I would play them for her, and she loved Willie Nelson. She would just purr like a kitten. I could give her shots. I could put bandages on her. I could do anything to her, as long as she was listening to Willie Nelson. Otherwise, you would have to run for your life. But she was so smart. She would actually start to take the gate apart. She would study the locks like a raptor. Your donkeys are amazingly intelligent, and they are very mischievous. They love to do things you don't want them to do. And they don't like to do things you want them to do. And mm-hmm. You have to pretend you don't want them to do something to get them to do it. And she was a character. And she died of a stroke there a few years later. But she opened me up to donkeys. And I actually got another donkey to keep her company. And then another one to keep that one company when Carol died. So Simon had, I was a little familiar with them. And I got them as guard animals to protect the sheep. They're wonderful guard animals. I mean, they're working animals. And they've done a wonderful job to keep coyotes and stray dogs away. But Simon was a whole other story. Every morning, Lulu and Fanny, the day begins with each one of them kicking him in the head.
I know.
And I asked the farrier, what are they doing that for? I said, they're just saying, "I'm the queen and you're Simon." That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. And they had had this blessed, wonderful life, and poor Simon had had a rugged life. I felt kind of sorry for him for a while there. Don't kick him in the head. But
I know. He did not mind.
Yeah, but other things happen, and it's the way of an animal world that they have to deal with it themselves sometimes, right? We want to do it for them.
Well, this was the other part, of course, of Simon, as you read in the book. He's very sweet and very loving. Things got very rough when we moved. We had a blind pony was left on the new farm, and who we loved dearly and were mm-hmm. taking care of. And Simon just went after this pony, viciously, repeatedly, because equines don't like, sick animals in the herd. It draws predators. So that was, I thought the theme that, as we've talked about this before, one of the themes that ran through this experience for me again and again and again is, why are we so nice to animals and so mean to people?
Right.
And this thing, and including within the animal world, there's so many people who love animals but also use them to batter people. And I've seen this again and again. I mean, there's so much hostility and anger within the animal world. And I believe personally, and I've seen this in my own life, I don't think you can really love an animal if you hate people. Mm. I mean, I just think it's one thing, it's the same thing. I don't think you can separate these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really interesting to explore that, and to the point where, as I went back to talk to the farmer
mm-hmm.
who had mistreated Simon so extremely. Because, with Simon, I started writing about him, putting him up on the blog. Of course, the whole world was supporting him and expressing love and admiration for him, but not one person wondered about the farmer.
Right.
So I wondered about the farmer. I said, what is it about a person whose life could be so tough or so drained of soul that he could do this?
Mm-hmm.
So I went out one day to meet him, knocked on the door, and I had been warned not to do this by the animal control people, said it would be dangerous. But I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that from him. And I found a person who just was beat up. He was just battered. He was mm-hmm. drained. He was soul drained. And that's not an excuse, obviously, but I thought, what is compassion if you do you only apply it to people you like? The people you don't like can never have it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the point of compassion, I think, is to give it to people you don't want to give it to.
Yeah. Let's talk about this a little more. We have an email from Deb in Lodi, and she writes about this very thing. She took on two neglected horses, working for 2 months, she said, to get the owner to properly care for them, but in the end, talking her into relinquishing ownership to Deb. It surprised me, she said, that I ended up having a lot of compassion for her, but at the same time, I was angry at her for letting them slide into this condition. How, John, did you reconcile these conflicting emotions?
It's a wonderful question. I appreciate that. That goes in a way to some of the heart of the book. I think when I was reading about compassion, you know, we admire these people so much, the Dalai Lama, Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. you know, and Gandhi. Everybody who preaches compassion becomes a hero. But if you turn on the news or watch cable television, you don't see any compassion in the world. You don't see it in politics. You don't see it in all these arguments and raging debates. And so the more I thought about it, the more I realized that the key to compassion is just what he's talking about. I went out in my mind. I said, I need to be understanding of this farmer. I need to know why he did this. One reason so that it doesn't happen again and we can understand it. Another reason is if you really, truly wish to be compassionate, that's the bridge you have to cross. And you have to do it. You have to. And I went and said to him, I'm trying to understand what happened here. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was a broken man. You know, he had been so beat up by farming. He was so tired. He was so broke. He'd been so battered for so long. His soul had gone. The lights had gone out. And he said, I just didn't see it. I didn't mean any harm. I didn't think about it. I just couldn't. And I couldn't bring myself to admit that I couldn't take care of him.
Mm. But his son did take care of him, right? These encounters that Simon has with children are very important in the book and important to the donkey and important to the children. What a connection.
It was extraordinary. The kid would sneak out at night and throw. It's the only reason Simon was alive, I think. And it was very, very wrenching, the scene. I wasn't there, but the scene described to me when Simon said goodbye to the kid who came out to see him as he was taken away by the police. And, you know, and another way to look at compassion. The kid really couldn't bear to see him suffer like that. It was trying to help him and did save his life, really.
Mm-hmm.
So you see all these different threads running through, and even an issue with the blind pony. I remember the vet looking at me and saying, you know, you need to be compassionate. You need to put the pony down. And I thought, wow, that's compassion. But in the animal world, we sometimes have this idea that compassion is really only keeping animals alive by all means at any cost,
mm-hmm.
when sometimes that's not compassion.
Yeah, exactly. And the story of the priest from the orphanage in Brooklyn who brings a group of young males to the farm and the connection between, what's his name? Is it Juan and Simon?
Juan, yep.
Yeah, tell us that story.
This is a group. They're coming back again in a couple of weeks.
Oh, they are. Great.
This is a group of kids from terrible circumstances. A lot of immigrant kids, abandoned kids, abused kids, kids in jail, who are taken by this Catholic boys' home in Brooklyn. And they come up here to upstate New York regularly, and they asked if they could come to the farm, see Red, my border collie, herd the sheep, and meet Simon. So I was a little surprised by this. I was surprised by the kids. None of them had ever seen a dog who wasn't a pit bull.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they couldn't even, they were terrified of the border collie.
Oh.
And they were 10 times more terrified of Simon. And they just had never imagined, none of them had ever seen an animal that wasn't dangerous or beat up or whatever.
Right.
So this was a shock to me. And they literally could not believe Red herding the sheep. And eventually I got a couple of them to come into the pasture with me and even to pet him. Simon was a whole other experience. They just were terrified. And Simon, of course, is, you know, for a carrot, he looked like he'd love anybody. So I put carrots, chopped up a bunch of carrots and gave them each a bunch of carrots. And one by one, they came in. And Juan in particular, who was a really hard case, and the priest said they were having a terrible trouble communicating with him, you could see him just change right in front of you. And this concept entered his mind that this was a gentle animal. And he started talking to him, and he started hugging him, and he started crying around him.
Mm.
And later, the Father Joseph told me that it just completely changed this boy's life. He just began talking and communicating after that, talked about Simon all the time. And I'm not sure exactly what the psychological dynamic of that was, but somehow it just opened him up and allowed him, I think, to be loving to something that he was afraid of, as opposed to just afraid of it.
Mm. John Katz, our guest. His latest book is A Beauty. It's Saving Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. John has written many books about his animals on Bedlam Farm, about his life. He writes poetry. He takes gorgeous pictures. If you have a chance, go to his John Katz Bedlam Farm, and he writes daily blogs. He's going through a lot himself right now, too, so he writes very honestly about what he's going through physically. He writes about Simon. He writes about all of the dogs, and he writes about his great love, Maria, and it's very heartfelt, and he's a beautiful writer. And we also want to tell you that we got all this going on. We got a pledge drive now, and I am delighted that a premium for $150 will be very happy to save you to send you a copy of Saving Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion by John Katz. We are, as you can tell, in our fall membership drive. KP Whaley is joining me here in our studios in Milwaukee, and I think you count on us to talk about these kinds of shows. Where are you going to hear this anywhere else? And they just get to you. WPR counts on you to help keep these discussions on the air. Give, please, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello, KP.
Hello, Kathleen. And our listeners are coming through. We're certainly on goal. We're looking still for about 20 more pledges, though, in the next half hour. So, one great reason to pledge is not only for John's book, but you can also give any amount and you're entered in to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can choose to go to Europe, the Rhine River, discover Alaska, or go to France. And we want to thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, really now is the time. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it isn't a given that you have to love dogs and Abraham Lincoln to be a member of this team, but
it sure
certainly
helps.
Does help, doesn't it?
It does. And now our newest producer, Scotty Myers, also is learning the ropes on that as well.
No, it's not all that we do, but it says something about people to me to really be interested in animals, because they do teach us a lot, and it's one of the reasons we love having John Katz on the show. And it's we click. It's, and there are all kinds of topics that we talk about. I mean, what a day to have Robert Reich and John Katz on the air on the same day. It's, you know, I'll go home, I'll feel good. Oh, and KP did that. KP is a terrific producer. And we bring this to you day after day and still have enthusiasm for it. And we learn so much. And it's just a wonderful job.
Yeah,
so,
and we love it. We love bringing these stories to
yes,
you,
we do.
The listener.
Yes, we do.
And again, we like to use this pledge drive time so that you can kind of help us pay it back as well. So you decide the amount of your pledge. Any pledge matters. Any amount that you can is the right amount. But again, if you'd like the book, Saving Simon, as your thank you gift, $150 or more, that's just $12.50 a month, at 888-202-2552.
Pledge drives are an important time to celebrate the quality that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, and you listen because you enjoy the programs. We're asking you to back that feeling up with some money.
Yeah, listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. So the programs that you enjoy every day are really possible thanks to the significant piece of that budget pie that you give us. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. During this membership drive, we're offering something very special. It's your chance to win a trip and to choose your own adventure. The lucky winner will choose between a holiday cruise up the Rhine River in Europe, an Alaskan adventure, or a getaway to France. No matter which trip you pick, you'll enjoy great lodging, great food, spectacular sights, and the company of WPR staff and your fellow listeners. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
And again, that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, $150, and we'll send you John Katz's latest book on the wonderful donkey, Simon. Well, whatever you choose, it's the right amount.
We also, you know, Kathleen, we hear from a lot of first-time pledgers. We heard from a ton of first-time pledgers in the last 2 hours.
Yeah, we have.
And, you know, sometimes they've gotten their first job out of college. They can't really afford to give. Or people who maybe have just turned 30 and realize, hey, I'm grown up. Now it's time to give. Whatever the reason, now is a great time to become a first-time pledger if you make a pledge of any amount. 888-202-2552. You know, $5 a month is really a great amount to pledge for a first time.
Absolutely. You know, once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. And WPR is one place where it's true all the time. Consider a gift of $2 a day. It's hard to buy much for $2 a day, but here, $2 a day creates a lot of learning, of news, of music. It works out to $60 a month, and we would love it if you could do that. Make the gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We want to get back to John Katz, but we're still looking for 17 more pledges in the next few minutes, so please help out now, WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And remember, for any amount you pledge today, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You don't have to worry if you're a sustainer because you are automatically entered.
And again, ask for the book, Saving Simon by John Katz, with your pledge of $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
James from Chippewa Falls says, I'm from Minnesota, but I listen to WPR all the time at my lake home. I thought I should donate here, too. Thank
That's
you, James.
Great. Thanks, James. And thanks to everyone who's pledging. And you still have time. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That's Simon, and we're talking about Saving Simon, John Katz's new book, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. Our phone number on air if you'd like to join this conversation, and that would be A-OK if you'd like to do that, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And the email, you can join us that way too, is talk@WPR.org. Let's talk about the relationship between donkeys and people, John. You talk about in the book that donkeys need the touch of people. They love to have the touch of children. It heals them, and they heal in return. What do you mean by that?
I think these animals, you know, I would put working horses in that, domestic animals like dogs, donkeys. They've been with people for many thousands of years, and they helped us build the world and be safe in the world and be connected to it. And I think we lose sight of the fact increasingly that we need them. We also lose sight of the fact that they need us. You know, one of the concerns I have about some of the animal rights movement now is that it's really a lot about getting animals away from people, saying we can't have them, it's too dangerous, we don't treat them well, and removing them from us. I think they need to be around us. If you live with a donkey for a while, and this way they are similar to dogs. They really need attention. They need people. Once or twice a day, we go out there. They come up. They lean against us. They want to know what's going on. You mentioned my summer, and I wanted to mention this about Simon. You know, I had open-heart surgery in July, and I'm doing very well.
I'm so glad.
Than I was.
Great.
I'm doing great. I'm walking miles and running around. I needed it, you know. I learned that, you know, just when a man feels bad, it's probably not a bad idea to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing to know, John, yeah.
I know. Men have trouble with that. Men have trouble with that. But when I got home from the hospital, I went out to see Simon, and it was really an amazing experience. He came up, and he came to my chest, and he sniffed every inch of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Up and down, all the way across the incisions and where the heart was and everything was. And he could just see him getting the story. And he was really paying attention to it. And at that point, he really started paying a lot of attention to me. I found it very, very healing in a way that's very hard to describe. You know, he would just come out and he would put his head against my chest, or he would lean against me, or he would follow me around. He really was concerned about me. He wanted to be around me. Or maybe he was just curious about me. I'm not sure, but I felt very, it may have a real impact on me. And it felt good. It felt very healing and very strengthening.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated it. Mm-hmm. And but I could feel something was passing between the two of us. He was aware of it. And I see this again. I saw it with Juan. I see it with the kids who, Simon, I think, was a farm donkey at some point because he just loves children. And I see the impact he has on them when people, a lot of people come to the farm from the city and they've never seen a donkey. And they're just blown away by it. You know, it's just quite a thing to see. So I think there's a need there that we lose sight of sometimes, that it isn't just a matter of them being cute and adorable. You know, I think we need them, and I think they're disappearing from the world at a rapid rate. You know, and before we take horses and get them out of cities and get rid of them, we need to be aware of the fact that when they leave, we never see them again.
Yes.
And I think we suffer from that.
Yes. Let's go to some phone calls, John. Jane in Fitchburg is calling in. Hey, Jane.
Hi. I wanted to tell a short tale about a horse that I adopted. And this horse was headed for the glue farm. He was at an auction. He was going to be sold for the price of meat. And he was a year and a half old. And luckily, he was rescued by a horse rescue association. And about 6 months later, he became mine. When he was rescued, he had a long, shaggy coat. He had warts all over his face. He had strangles, which is a respiratory disease.
Mm-hmm.
People did not think he would make it and did not think he would turn into anything worthwhile. And when I got him, he was well on his way, and he turned into the most beautiful Arab and was just a beauty to see, smart, loyal. It was a wonderful experience for me.
Oh, Jean, thank you very much for the call. And the same has happened to Simon. You say you're having another open house soon, John, and I'm really struck by this first, and I guess you had it partially because of Simon, the first open house, which wasn't all that long ago, and by golly, thousands of people came from all over the country, and Simon was the star. What in the world were they coming to see? What was Simon to all these people?
Well, Simon was, I think, a symbol of I think, you know, determination and rebirth. He bounced back from awful experience. He was generous about it. You know, he wasn't resentful or angry or unpleasant. I was struck during that open house and subsequent ones by how disconnected from animals many people are. Most of the people who came, not all, but were from cities. They'd never seen a donkey. They'd never seen a horse. Many they'd never seen a chicken. And they came all dressed up, you know, in fancy shoes, which were not good for pastures.
Right.
They regretted that.
Right.
And they approached him like he was radioactive. I mean, they were frightened for their kids. They held the kids back. And I would say to them, you know, it's just okay. You know, you can relax. He's not going to hurt you. And the more relaxed they are, the more relaxed he's going to be. And he quickly understood the idea that people bringing carrots were good things.
Yeah.
And he enjoyed that. He had a great time. But I could see, again, as we're talking about, you know, we talk a great deal about rescue, and I've certainly written about it, and I have a bunch of rescue animals here, but it's really time, if we want these animals to be with us, to go beyond the idea of rescuing them and think about how we can make room for them in our world. You know, we've sort of done it with dogs to a great extent. People have really worked dogs into their lives, even in cities,
mm-hmm.
where dogs have good lives in places like Milwaukee. You know, you think, well, dogs don't belong in cities, but they do well there. People really make sure they do well there. They
do well at my house.
I know they do well.
Yeah, right.
That's what a donkey. You need a donkey.
I know I do. I know
I
do.
You really would love a donkey, I'm telling you.
I know.
But you know, it's a larger issue for our society, which is, you know, how are we going to, what is the future of these animals in our world? How are we going to make room for them? How are we going to find work for them? How are we going to find connection for them and things for them to do? And the struggle so far, I think, is meant to rescue them and to remove them from us. And I think we need to be thinking about how to just make room for them in our world before they disappear completely.
Yeah.
Donkeys are a great example. I mean, donkeys are just disappearing, you know, from our world, from the American world, rapidly. And that's a shame because they're not only wonderful pets, they're guard animals, they haul things, they're great for farms, they do all kinds of wonderful, and they're easy to care for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, the paradigm, you know, it's important that we begin thinking about how to incorporate them into our lives, animals like that, before they disappear completely.
Absolutely. And in terms of your personal story, you know, I love the walks that you've taken with him and getting him to get the green grass on the other side of the road and meeting gypsies. And there's a magical quality about the book, too. But you write that something in you connected with something in him. You think that he decided from the first that he would live. And you've decided that, too, I think, over the last few months. You will live.
Yes.
It's what donkeys do, endure hard times, and they keep on going. That's their history.
I think if you look back at the history of animals like donkeys and dogs in particular, I think those two species come to mind. You know, they have a long history of going through life with people. You meet a lot of people, and you look at them, and you see they're going through life with their dog. Their dog is sharing the experience of living. And that's very particularly true of donkeys, especially in older times when they were both transportation and all things, and they were essential. And in particular, this idea, you know, you see it all the time in the old literature. You see it in old paintings, something profoundly spiritual about them. You see all these gorgeous paintings from the Renaissance and medieval times, and even earlier, of donkeys appearing at religious ceremonies and walking with people. So I think they shared our lives, and I think that's in our genes. I think, you know, and so one of the first things I did with Simon when he started walking was I got a halter on him, and I started going for walks with him. And he loved that. It was like he'd done it a million times. And we would, you know, he had his own ideas about things. He would like to walk where there was green things to eat. And, you know, when the donkey stops, you know, you don't say move.
Right.
You have to have an alternative strategy. And like carrots in the pocket or hidden treats or something else. And the first time we did it, the farmer up the road, who thought I was crazy anyway, he comes by in his truck and he looks out yells out the window, two asses on the road. And so from that point on, we just started wandering around. And there was something, you know, it's hard to describe what it did for me.
Oh, I think you described it well.
Oh, thank you.
You did.
I love, you know, it's funny. I tried to do, this summer I started doing Tai Chi. I thought it would be good for my health. And so Simon comes up behind me, and he puts his head in my back, like, to prop me up. And I was just leaning against him, and he does Tai Chi with me now every morning. He just stands there, and he's – I don't know what he's doing. But we do Tai – so I'm doing Tai Chi with a donkey, which is even in my life is a chapter I would not have expected to.
Oh, John. You got to put –
And it works. It works.
I believe it. You got to put a video of that on your blog. We got to ask for money. I'm so glad to hear your voice. You sound terrific, and the book is just – and I am pretty honest with you about things. This is
– Yes, you are.
I love
very honest.
The last book that you did was probably my favorite about Maria because she really, it was such a spiritual book. But I got to tell you, you have really made me want to get a donkey. I love this book. There's something offbeat about both you and the donkey in the best possible way.
I know, it's true. I admit it.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing too, Kathy, quickly about your show, about the pledge drive.
Okay.
You know, from my vantage point as a media critic and a journalist and an author, you know, I cannot tell you, I'm sure your listeners know how important it is that you survive and prosper. This is where ideas live, you know. They're not living everywhere anymore. And I look forward to this program. When a book comes out, it's absolutely affirming for me. It doesn't happen very often anymore. And it's very, very important, I think, that people understand that and support it.
Thank you, John. All the best to you.
I mean that very sincerely.
I know you do.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you, John.
Thank
Have
you
a terrific open house, and I'd like to be able to tickle Simon behind the ears. Or no, on the side of the nose. On the side of the nose, that's where they like it. The book is Saving Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. John Katz, our guest. And only this hour, if you pledge $150 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be able to read about Simon. And it's a story that's worth hearing. That was fun, wasn't it? Well, take a deep breath. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and this is our fall membership drive. And if you didn't know it, I like what John said, that this is the place where ideas live. They do. They live here. Every single day they live here, and you keep those ideas going. This drive is your chance to keep alive ideas and all the programs that you enjoy. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, you can help pay for the ideas, pay for those programs that you depend on. Mm-hmm. We're just looking for a handful more pledges, three or four in the next few minutes, so we can meet this goal. And when you give, don't forget you'll be entered into a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. That includes either the Rhine River, Alaska, or an escape to France. So make your donation now and get entered into the drawing. Get John Katz's book for a $150 pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I also wanted to leave you with his website, too. If you go to John Katz Bedlam Farms, he posts all the time gorgeous photography, poems, his thoughts about things. It's wonderful. So, well, this hour is an example of... I don't know what it is. It's an example of compassion in animals and learning things. And I know, it just sort of gets to your heart. It really does. It really does. I mean, and whoever thought that it would be really nice to have a donkey? I mean, I would never have thought about that until I did this radio show or thought very much about them at all. And I'm glad I did. So take a few minutes to make this hour and many other hours, not all about donkeys, possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, this hour only, you can get the book Saving Simon by John Katz when you make a contribution of just $150. That's only $12.50 a month. So your donation really does support the programs that you count on. And you can also get this really amazingly wonderful book that John's written. And pledge now, WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio provides me with in-depth, accurate news from around the state. I also like the music, too. I really like being a sustainer because it is relatively painless. I have a monthly withdrawal from my credit card. I don't have to think about it other than the fact that, oh, it's that time of year, it's time for me to up my pledge. When I'm not listening to a public radio station, I'm probably not listening to radio. I'm Rob from Madison, Wisconsin, and I've been a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio for many years. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio so we can keep this precious resource alive and well.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. KP Whaley and I are asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive.
Turn on my mic. During this fall membership drive, Kathleen, as you know, pledges have been coming in from $5 up through multiple thousands of dollars. So maybe you're considering a pledge of $200 a month for the programming that's essential to your life. That's the 9XM Leadership Circle, and those gifts help make it possible. You can make the leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may not agree with all the opinions that you hear from callers or newsmakers, but it's good that it exists, right? You're hearing multiple points of view. You're fully engaged in a real discussion. You're informed about the issues because you've heard different perspectives. And where else do you go? Seriously, where else do you go for this kind of experience? This is it. We're listener-supported. Your gift right now gives this diversity of opinions and your chance to interact with everybody. Well, it's priceless. So give now, and here's how you do it, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, we're close to goal. We still need one or two more pledges in the next few minutes. So as an added incentive, again, a pledge amount of any amount get you into the drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You can donate for a chance to travel along the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska or tour France. Your pledge right now will help keep this program going strong and getting amazing guests like John Katz. And it also will enter you into the drawing for a trip of your choice. So make your contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's only the next couple of minutes for a $150 pledge. We'll be just delighted to send you Saving Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. We'd like to be able to send you a donkey, but it would be very hard to do that. So we're sending you the book instead. So please pledge. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you may be asking, what does a pledge mean? We've got a lot of new pledgers this time.
That's great.
This time.
Thanks, everybody.
So if what a pledge is a promise. It's a pledge that you'll to bring you great shows every day. We pledge that, and then you pledge to support them with a contribution of any amount. So when you help pay for the costs of this station, we'll make sure that there's something interesting and entertaining and informative to listen to. That's our pledge. Now make yours, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are very happy to accept all of your pledges this hour. Help us, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Get entered into the drawing for two tickets to a trip anywhere, the three places that we're going. And again, sustainers, you're automatically entered into those drawings.
And ask for the book Saving Simon by John Katz with your pledge of $150 or more. It's $12.50 a month. Pledge now, WPR.org. 888-202-2552. Thank you, KP Whaley.
Thank you.
Thanks
to everyone who's pledged.
Yeah, thanks everybody for pledging, and thanks to John Katz. Thanks for listening.